Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family, and if you're new and exploring the Beloved City Church family, or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, welcome. We truly believe that you can belong here at Beloved before you believe, and are glad that you're here with us in this moment. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally and emotionally even. We exist as a church to lead people to know Jesus intimately, like relationally, right? And to grow in freedom from those things that we experience that just don't bring life abundantly in our lives. And we also exist to lead people in discovering their God-given purposes here on this planet Earth. To invite other people to come alongside us as we're engaged in making a difference in this city, a difference that lasts for eternity. We sometimes say populating heaven and plundering hell. I know that's kind of maybe a little bit different way to put it, but I pray that today, over the next few moments together, that Holy Spirit will nudge us, you and I, closer to Him and to His way, and to live and serve and give and love like Jesus. It's His good and perfect plan for our lives, and it's beautiful. So today we are continuing in our series, this micro-series of, we titled it, The Way. If you missed last week, I encourage you to stay connected with what the Holy Spirit, we believe, is leading us as a church, leading us in as a church. So jump on the podcast channel or on our YouTube channel and catch up. I truly believe that we are in a season of growth and development. Some call it discipleship formation. We're growing more and more to be like Jesus and live and serve and give and love like Him. Healthy things grow, right? And growing things change. All of nature around us teaches us these things. Could we be so brave as to grow and change together? There are moments, I know, and days that I would even be so brave to admit, maybe months, that I've even caught myself living in yesterday. Maybe you've done the same thing, or maybe you've attempted to live in tomorrow more so than yesterday, or even in this moment today. Can you remember a time where you were driving? I've done this before and are like, what the heck? How? Why did I drive here? This is like the old, I lived here like 3 years ago and you drove there somehow, or you're cooking and instead of adding the butter that the recipe called for, you added a cup of salt and you're like, oh my goodness, this is going to taste horrible. Don't tell mom. And you're like, what the? Again, my mind and my spirit, and sometimes are so preoccupied by either my yesterdays, all those things that maybe I didn't quite do the way I could have or would have liked to do, or we call them regrets sometimes, or maybe like me, you also might have some days that you're worried about tomorrow and your health exam, your driver's test, new job, an interview, that difficult conversation that you need to have, all the bills that are due and there's not enough money to go around, and lately it's fuel for the car, it's costing like $20 a gallon, regretting past moments or worrying about future moments. So much that you might find yourself, just like me sometimes, living in my past, living in my future, that I'm not actually living in the moment, living in the now moment. And that can be frustrating sometimes. And quite often we're not even aware of it, right? My question for you today, though, in this moment is, where are you? Where am I? Are you here? Many of us are here, whether you be online or in person, physically filling a space, that couch or a pew or chair or in your car. But where is your mind? Where are your thoughts? Are you actually here present? Are you mindfully present and aware of being right where you are? And if you're not here, give your neighbor a nudge, or if you're sitting in your car, your friend, or whatever it might be, and say, I'm here right now. I'm here. Good. I want to acknowledge that we are here together, gathered on, if you're watching on Sunday or listening on Sunday, gathering on the first day of the week, maybe it's the second day of the week for you, but for us, gathering together on the first day of the week, in preparation, we call it Sunday, we used to call it Sabbath, and sometimes we still do, but in preparation, in receiving mode for the week ahead of us, resting in Jesus and in His presence, there is still fullness of joy, friends, ready to feed on the bread of life, this life-giving word, a living word of God, standing in the same presence that actually raised Christ from the dead, in the worship of the Lamb of God who was slain for the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of the world, that we might be restored into functional and healthy relationship with God, our Father. And we say, all we can simply say is, thank you so much, Jesus. In this moment, I'm here in the presence of a living God, and there's fullness of joy. So some of you won't be here in the moment with me for very long, right? mentally or emotionally, you will be somewhere else in the next few moments, whether it be Instagram is calling your name and you haven't checked how your last reel or your last post is doing in the last 12 minutes. Maybe a text message is gonna vibrate in your pocket or on your front dash. That might be my mom. You know, I've been kind of ignoring her lately because of that rude comment she made at Christmas about my weight gain or at my birthday or whatever. OMG. That person's hair, wow, I love that hair. All right, wow, where did you get? I better make a note on my phone to ask where they got their hair done, right? We're not always present in the moment, and some of you are not present in the moment right now, but I'm gonna call you back just to hear in this next few moments. Come, be present with me for the next few moments. Some of you, often like me, are preoccupied with thinking about the things you've got to get done to be ready for the week, whether it be laundry and lunches and that kitty litter, oh my goodness, for the what I need to pick up on the way home list. Our minds, they drift and wander, and it's actually kind of fun sometimes, right? Last week, we learned about living unhurried, learning the unforced rhythms of grace, discussing and talking about being in a rush and rushing, hurry, hurry, hurry all the time, busy, 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 living this life with Jesus at a walk's pace is what we learned about. The greatest enemy to the life you want may be the life that you're actually living. Too busy for what actually matters. Today, here's what I want to do. I want to help us learn to live in the now moment, right now with Jesus. And as I know, you might not be here present with me very long, so let's jump right into the scripture before you jump into some other thought process. We mentioned the scripture last week briefly. Let's look at it again. The account is about Jesus's first miracle. And it was at a wedding. And if you don't know the context, it was an incredibly embarrassing moment for the host of this wedding, who at this wedding runs out of wine. And Jesus' mom said, Jesus, go do something about it. Moms, right? Like, hey, Johnny, sing for us. You know that song you sing so well? Come on, sing. My Johnny's such a great singer. But mom, and Jesus' mom, kind of similar, right? Got to show off my son a bit here. That's all right. And so he, Jesus, the good and honorable son that he was, after a slight complaint, says, mom, it's not even my time to shine yet. But his mom says, come on, Jesus, let's go. He said to the servant, so go and fill these jars, these massive jars, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to fill them with water. Now, these weren't your ordinary mason jars, right, that you put jam in or something. They were maybe 20 or 30 gallon jars, big jars, or what we might call rain barrels or something. And Jesus said to the servants that were there, here's what I want you to do, is I want you to draw the water of the jars and then go and give it to the master of the banquet, this wedding feast. And God's word gives us this account. Let's look at it. John 2, verses 7 to 8. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. Then the servants, they did so. And in verse 9 to 10, when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though it says the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. When he had tasted that the water had been turned into wine and he didn't realize where had this come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they already knew, they saw this happen. The master of the feast, he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone serves the choice wine first. Come on, right? And then the cheaper wine after the guests are already drunk. What are you doing, buddy? Now, here's what many of us think it says or thought it said. It said, but you save the best for last. Yet that's not what God's word is saying in this moment. What God's word is saying is this, but you kept the good wine until now. You've saved the best for now, not the best for last, not the best for later. I can live now in the best moment now. Can you nudge your neighbor and say, now, friends, live in the now, friends. We are exploring the way of Jesus, not just the truth about Jesus. That's great, and we're going to continue doing that, but also the way that Jesus lived and served and gave and loved. No matter who he interacted with, no matter where he was going or what he was doing, he was always fully present in the now moment, fully present. He lived with undivided attention in the moment. In fact, let's look at a couple back-to-back stories in scripture that can illustrate his heart for the people that were right in front of him, the right now moments, right? And how he fully engaged in this moment. In the first account we are looking at, it's found in Luke's gospel, Dr. Luke. account of Jesus again. Jesus is walking into Jericho, probably large crowds around at this time, and this account was nearly 1400 years after the story of Jericho's walls falling back in the Old Testament, right? So when Jesus was walking, remember we talked about Jesus's walk pace, and at this time in history, Jericho was a bustling and walled citadel again, and as Jesus was walking, a blind man was begging. And his name was Bartimaeus, which we learn from Mark's gospel, actually. Luke's gospel in Luke 18 to 35 and 43 refers to him solely as a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. That's Luke 18. Bartimaeus, he's crying out, Jesus. Once he found out it was Jesus, because he's blind, he's like, who's coming? It's Jesus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples were actually offended. They were kind of cheesed and choked, much like us today. Jesus ain't got time for you, this guy. Jesus is going to be, Jesus has got so many important things to do. Jesus is too busy. Jesus has an agenda. He's not going to stop for me, let alone some guy who's begging on the side of the road. And the disciples rebuked the blind beggar and said, go away. Yet, friends, Jesus actually rebuked the disciples. And what did he do? He stopped and he engaged with a single hurting person, fully engaged in the moment. Jesus was walking on his way, but he stopped, gave him all of his attention and said, what would you like for me to do? And this man cries out, could you heal me? Could you please heal me, son of David? I haven't been able to see my entire life. And Jesus spoke a miraculous word of faith and healed the man in that moment. Now, the one part of this miracle is that Jesus healed him, right? Now he can see, the blind man can see. Yet the second thing I would like us to notice is this, is that Jesus stopped for a guy that no one else had time for, to fully engage with the person that was right in front of him. How many times, friends, do we avert our eyes, ignore the signs, or make excuses for ourselves and take a different path, right? I'm going to be in a different lane or be looking at my cell phone, you know, I'm kind of busy or whatever, zoned out, preoccupied. Present physically, yet not present mentally and emotionally in the now moment, right? Sometimes we actually intentionally avoid it. Sometimes it's not often, we're missing what God wants to do in our right now moment. We miss the miracle of Jesus working in the earth and in us and through us. It's quite possible that he desires you and I to be part of the miracle that he wants to bring in the earth. You are made for this, friend. You're built for this and will need you and I to be aware, to be in the moment, to be alert, looking for the kairos moment where the supernatural meets the and intersects with the very natural world that we live in. How? Through a people of God who are living and breathing in the now moment, connected with the Holy Spirit right now in this waking moment. Now, the second of the back-to-back story continues in Luke 19. Moments later, after healing blind Bartimaeus, he enters Jericho. Jesus, now, as Jesus entered Jericho, and this time Luke tells us that he was actually going somewhere. He was passing through, and so he was moving through. He had somewhere to be. Luke 19 and 1-2, it says, as Jesus entered Jericho and passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now, if you notice, Jesus had already been interrupted one time by a poor blind beggar. By now, you and I would probably be like pretty annoyed, right, and frustrated. Once I could do Jesus, but twice in the space of an hour of being interrupted is just too much. Here again, Jesus is interrupted on his walk's pace life. This time he's interrupted by a filthy, rich, kind of corrupt tax collector. What is so lovable, what I find so lovable about Jesus is that he's got time, friends, for the down and out. And he's got time also for the up and out, for the poor and the rich, but the ones who are disconnected from in the relationship with him. He's got time for anyone and a heart for everyone and anyone. Friends, it doesn't matter where you come from or how bad your past is or how dirty it is or how many bad things you did or how many people you ripped off and how rich you got because of it. Jesus cares about you, the down and out and the up and out. The near to God and the far from God, he cares. I want to just let someone know that today. And so Jesus stops for this guy named Zacchaeus. Now, if you don't remember or don't know who Zacchaeus is, it's a crazy name, right? Let me tell you briefly about this man. Zacchaeus was a tiny guy, a wee man, as the old Sunday school song would sing, who on this day, as Jesus was walking through Jericho in Luke 19, verses 3 to 4, he runs ahead, climbs up into a sycamore tree so he could see who Jesus was. Yet here he was, a wealthy tax collector, which may not mean a whole lot to you in this culture, because a tax collector can kind of be respectable, I guess. Although you probably don't enjoy paying your taxes. I know that, you know, sometimes we don't, right? But during this time period, being a tax collector was like one of the most corrupt things a person could do as a career. A tax collector would have been a person who was known for, who would charge you what you owed, but then would add more on adding an exorbitant amount on top of what you owed, and then they would scrape that off the top and pocket that themselves, right? For him or herself. So this guy would have been one of the most despised and rejected and hated people probably in that community. And yet Jesus sees this guy and literally calls him by name. In Luke 19:5, Jesus comes to the place near the tree and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for lunch today." Jesus literally invites himself over for lunch. And as he was going somewhere, after he had already been interrupted once to heal a blind man, he gives a no good tax collector, a thieving tax collector and sinner, his full and undivided attention. And better yet, over lunch, while talking to the two Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus being in the presence, the very presence of the Son of God in this very moment, had this deep encounter, this deep moment in being with Jesus. And in verse 8, he just says something like, "Jesus, I've sinned like so many times and I've hurt so many people and I'm terribly sorry. I've done so many bad things. I'm willing to do anything I can to make it up for it." And then he blurts this out. I don't know if you've ever had a friend like this. I had a friend like that growing up. You could never take him out with you if you're going out for mischief. He'd always be so repentant and rat us all out before we even got home. Not fun at all, right? Anyway, Zacchaeus, you can almost feel him making it up to Jesus. It really means, "Oh God, I want to do everything. Jesus, I want to do anything I can to make this up to you." And he really means it. And like so much that says in verse 8, "I'll give half of my possessions to the poor and I'll pay back four times to anyone that I've stolen from." Jesus looks at this man and says in verse 9, "Today, in this moment, right now, salvation has come to your home." Jesus had an undivided attention in the moment. And what does he do? He stops and gives people one of the greatest gifts he can give, his attention and his love. Jesus was always fully present in the moment. And friends, I desire, and like you, I encourage you, I hope you desire, I know I desire to be more like Jesus in living and serving and giving and loving like him in the moment, fully present, undivided. Yet, unfortunately, now, I believe I'm talking to some really real people in this moment, so can I be really real with you? If I can be really real, then here's where I'm not always fully present, friends. And I've been praying, and as I've been studying this last week or so, and asking Jesus to help me, not only to stop rushing, being hurried all the time, and to walk life at a walk's pace, but to help me also to be fully engaged in whatever it is in front of me. Every moment that I'm gifted with air in my lungs and a pulse and a brain that is active and engaged, I want to be fully present where my feet are actually standing and planted. And I think it's worth noting, I don't want to just live for the happy moments and the high moments and the rich moments and the powerful moments and the Instagram-worthy moments and the meaningful moments. Oh, but I also desire to be fully present in the frustrating moments, in the every moment of my life, in the annoying, in the situations where I'm alone, where I'm afraid. I want to be present in those moments and experience being in the moment with Jesus. I wonder how many of you are living in the middle of a lot of annoying and frustrating moments right now. Some of you are in a stage where stepping on toys in the dark is still your life. In the middle of the night, you get up to go pee. It's the norm. And you might just, you step on that Lego piece and you let slip out a four-letter word that rhymes with, you know, whatever. Maybe I won't go there. Well, probably shouldn't go there. But hey, those pesky little Lego pieces. I remember those days, friends. I remember. I've been there. Unbelievable, right? Painful. A little piece of Lego, how much pain that can cause. Toilet seat's always up or it's always down. Or dishes from 2 days ago still in the sink. You can't find a clean pot to boil your quick fix of itchy band noodles. Who drank the last soda pop? For me, it's ginger ale. Who took my last ginger? Come on. Annoying and frustrating, right? Why is it that the laundry machine is always full when it's my time or my turn? How come every time I get in the car, the fuel light is on, and I have an appointment to be at in 3 minutes now? More than annoyed. I love my family and all friends, yes. But there are days we are all annoyed, and we're all complaining. And I wonder if some of you are complaining about things today that you will miss tomorrow. I know I have. I know for myself, there are things I complained about in the early years of parenting, moments that I actually miss now. You still with me, friends? I know I just sparked a whole bunch of imagination and thoughts and memories. I almost heard a few of you scurry off in the moment in your minds. Jesus was fully engaged in the moment. Can you nudge your neighbor and ask, are you still here? Statistically speaking, according to recent studies, take it or leave it, statistics, right? That 47% of the time, people's minds are not in the same place as their feet. In your conversations, in your bedroom, at your workplace, when you're worshiping at church, at the gym, eating dinner with your family, almost half of your day-to-day life, we are living disengaged from the present moment. Phones, I love them and hate them all at once, right? We don't have to talk about this for very long. We all know and have experienced being the person or being with a person or even alone when there are so many other things we can be engaged in. We are distracted with our technology. The average person touches their phone 2,600 times a day. That's a lot of times that we pick up our phone to disengage from what or who is right in front of us. To be transported into some other world. Another cat video or how many likes did I get? Another news article. Who did what? And who said what? Some new conspiracy? Oh, and another church leader did what? All right, some new all kinds of 2,600 times picking up our phones, and that's an average. Yeah, the amazing thing is this about some of us is that we're so above average, right? Well, we're not just another church full of just average people, right? When we go all out in our dysfunctional ways of living, some of us go way, way out there. The average is 2,600 plus times, but the top 10%ers of cell phone users, they touch their phones more than 5,400 plus times a day. Like zoinks, Scooby, right? Thousands of times a day that we are not in touch with the ground that we are walking on or present with the person we are with, let alone in an intimate communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus. We're just out of the moment. We're living in yesterday or tomorrow, repeatedly on the hunt for that one thing that just might make me happy, that just might make me feel good, to help me escape whatever reality or whatever boredom I'm living in. We so often are so discontented and are easily caught up in literally wishing our lives away because we are in pursuit of living an ulterior reality than the moment that I have been gifted. What are you pursuing, friends? I'm discontented with the moment that I'm in. Unsatisfied? No matter what stage of life I am in, the stage of life my spouse is in or my kids are in, my bank account, my hairline, how many friends I have or I don't have, or is here? There's a mind game that we often play. We humans often play this. We play the when I finally have, when I get married, I'll finally be happy. When my student loans are paid off, when I get the right job, I'll finally give. When my kids are grown, I'll finally be able to serve. When I finally own my own house, I'll finally be able to love, right? When, the mind games that we play. Wishing away what I have right in front of me, friends. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want in the future. Jesus was fully present in the moment, friends, and we too can live and serve and give and love like Jesus in the present moment, living in the now moment. Or here's another game. When it's not the when game, we play the what if game. What if I don't succeed? What if the economy? What if I never get married? What if I don't get a good job? What if I don't get a grad degree? What if I don't pass this test? What if I don't attract a good spouse? What if aliens are real? What if this happens and that happens? What if, what if, what if? Jesus, his way is different. He reminds us to live in the moment. In this account of Jesus, in Matthew 6 and 34, Jesus, he says, actually, friends, don't worry about what's coming. Tomorrow will worry for itself. Now, I've heard this scripture used for an anti-planning kind of posture in life and just winging it, right? That can be careless. But that's just simply not what Jesus is saying here. He is saying, don't worry about the future. Plan for it. Go ahead and plan. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and nudge you and help you plan, and he will establish your plans as you include him in it. Jesus says, though, don't worry about it, right? Are you still with me? What are you pursuing, friends? It's absolutely vital to live in the moment, to be present in the moment, to live undistracted. We often live distracted because we are so often engaged in living with a lack of faith. We so often attempt to walk by sight. We got to have it all figured out. We get all scared and worried and anxious, and we're all freaked out about something that happened to us a long time ago. And somehow I've got to have it all figured out so it never happens again, or so I can undo it. Or we're all freaked out about what's going to hypothetically happen in the future, so we attempt to reach out to control it. Here's what I believe, friends. If we would be so willing to surrender our past and our present and our future to Jesus, to fully live surrendered in the moment, is actually surrendering a past that I can't change, no matter how hard I try, even when I try to cover it up. I can't change the past. I need to trust that God has my past, that He's forgiven me, that He's actually helped me through this. And to fully live surrendered in the moment is also surrendering and willfully trusting that God is absolutely good and just and cares about me, my past, my present, and my future. And He's already there. And friends, listen, if He's good to redeem my past, He is absolutely good in my future too. I can trust Him enough to live securely in this present moment, the now moment, so I can be fully engaged with Him and with the person which is right in front of me in the present moment. It takes faith, faith in God, to engage in God's calling right in front of you. Where you live, where you work, study, and play in the now moment, with your children, with your spouse, with your friends, with your neighbors, wherever. Can somebody say now? James, the half-brother of Jesus, in James 4 and 13 to 14, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life?" he asks in a question. "For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that." See, we sometimes think we have to have it all figured out, right? We are so engaged with the past and future, trying to get it all figured out, and yet we don't even know what tomorrow will bring. The pressing question is, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. It's like, it's there, it's gone. Life is but a mist here and gone. This is your life, friends. You're here for a little while, and the life that God has given you on this earth is passing away in the moment. And this is what freaks us out as humans. And here's three things that we freak out about. The first one is, no one knows the time you have here on earth. You don't know how much time you have here. We think we do. Well, at least we live like we do, I think. The second thing that what freaks us out is, no matter what you do, you can't stop the cycle of life. Time is passing by. Every day is a gift from God, every moment. And some of us are wishing it away. Third thing that freaks us out, you can't get yesterday back. Time is passing, and that moment I just had is gone. I can try and recreate the moment, yet it's actually, that moment is gone, and I can't get it back ever. Yet here we are together. In this holy moment, in the very real and tangible presence of the living God, the most important moment of my life, experiencing God right now with God's people. And I love the heart of David, how it's captured in Psalms. Let's look there for a second. Psalms 118 and 24. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Friends, you have today, you have this moment that the Lord has made, and I can be glad and I can rejoice in it. And if you are still mentally and emotionally here with me right now, I pray that this is settling in your heart and spirit, that you can't be content where you're not, friends. You can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't live, give, serve, and love like Jesus where you're not present. This is the day that the Lord has made. The most important moment is right now. This is your best moment is right now. The most important person is the one right in front of you or right beside you. Instead of only pursuing the big moments and the happy moments and the elated moments and the celebratory moments, the special moments, the powerful moments, instead I can live and be present in the now moment, even if it's a small moment, even if it's a frustrating moment or it's a disappointing moment, I can still be fully present. Don't miss the moment you have now pursuing what you want later. This is the day the Lord has made. And when you look at the way Jesus lived, not just the truth about what He taught, the way He lived, as He walked along, people weren't interruptions or inconveniences to Him. There were moments and opportunities to engage and show the goodness and the love of God. This moment's all that you have, friends. This moment matters. This moment matters. My point is not to shame you, to guilt you, to make you feel bad. To be fair, I get distracted all the time too. Together, though, with the helper of the Holy Spirit, and you and I being personally edified in the Holy Ghost and corporately encouraged in the Holy Spirit, we can surrender and trust the Holy Spirit to help us live in the now moment. Holy Spirit isn't living in the past or future. He is living with us right now. When you think about Jesus, if there was any time that he would have been absolutely distracted from others, if there was any time that he would have been consumed with himself, like we often are, it would have been on the cross. When you think about Jesus on the cross, the sinless Son of God, stripped, beaten, stripped down naked, beaten beyond recognition, whipped and flogged and bloodied, hanging on a cross, having to push up his feet with nails through his ankles and pulling up with his wrists with nails through his wrists just so that he could get a breath of air as people cursed him and spit on him and threw things on him. And right next to him was a criminal. And this criminal looked over at Jesus and had an agonizing conversation, short but agonizing. Maybe the nameless thief said something along the lines of, "I've done a lot of bad things in my life. I feel really bad about them. I wish I would have never done these things. I'm really, really sorry." Whatever he said, we know he said this. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And even in the middle of Jesus' suffering, in the middle of his suffering, the worst day of his life, the most painful and excruciating moment of Jesus' life, he's fully engaged with the criminal on the cross. And as he looks over to him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Fully engaged in the moment. Friends, you can't serve Jesus where you're not, and you can't be happy and content and fulfilled where you're not. You can't love people where you're not. And if your mind is not where your body is 47% of the time, you're missing out on the life, the fullness of life that God has given you and gifted to you to live for his kingdom purposes. It's right in front of you, friends. You can't be a great friend if you're not there. You can't be an engaged parent if you're not there. You can't have a great marriage if you're not there. You can't be a great neighbor if you're not there. Until you begin to recognize this is the day that the Lord has made. Because of this, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the moment that I was made for. God has saved the best days for you right now, the best moments right now. Now, in this moment, you could experience his grace. Now, in this moment, you can experience his mercy. In this moment, you can experience his forgiveness. Right now, his power is here, present with us. His freedom is here. His grace is here. His goodness is here. He is with us. Can you sense it? In this holy moment, God is with us right now. And I believe that God has me here right now, in front of you, on the camera, on YouTube, wherever you are listening, in this moment right now, to tell you that your best moments are now. If you'll fully engage with the people that God brings in front of you, pouring out your heart in the moment, knowing that tomorrow is not a promise, but this is a moment, a holy moment you can experience God. Your best moments can be right now. Engage in the moment, friends. Be where your feet are and see what God has put right in front of you. I promise you, his goodness, his grace, his mercies, his love is so much better than you and I could ever imagine if you look for it in the moment. This is the day, this moment the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Thank you, Jesus. If you're still here with me, emotionally present here, let's pray and go before God. Father, we just thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much for your word today, for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking to us. Holy Spirit, would you lead us into your perfect will in this moment? Help us to live the life that you died to give us, that we would be empowered by your Spirit to live like Jesus lived, to serve, give, and love like Jesus, fully present in the moment with undivided attention in the moment. Holy Spirit, prompt us over and over and over again in the weeks ahead, when our minds drift from a conversation with a friend, when our minds are drifting from the moment that we're living in, when our minds drift from an intimate moment with our spouse, Holy Spirit, when our minds drift away from what could be an opportunity to minister to someone, and we're tempted to pick up a phone or to worry about the past or to obsess about the future, Jesus, help us to surrender a past we cannot change and to trust you with a future that we cannot control. Engaging our minds and our hearts and emotions fully in every moment. Even in this moment, Jesus, we draw our minds to where we are right now in this moment so we can love people the way you loved us. Holy Spirit, convict us and empower us and change us to be more like Jesus so that we too can live the way that Jesus lived, fully engaged in the moment. Thank you. Demonstrating your love in all that we do. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you're here online with me today and you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, and you would like to explore what it means to follow the way of Jesus, can you pray with me like this? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame and healing my hurts and my pains and my brokenness. I choose to receive this free and extravagant gift of life and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me. I surrender to you and I trust you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live the life that you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word in my life. Reveal to me where I can walk in the freedom that you've designed me to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, go all in like he did. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around living like Jesus, making an impact for an eternity in us and others around us. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved Church to help us grow the day-to-day ministry? Here's how. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Secondly, join the Grow team and help serve others. Work alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact together, friends. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your money by giving financially to support Beloved City Church and help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city, in Jesus' name. We love you. We're praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way. Be present in the moment, friends. Amen.